Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Here we go with a Thursday show live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Welcome to our program today. And a reminder, if you can't join us live at 11 o'clock each day, you can find this show as a podcast on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud, both of those platforms as well. Let's jump into it today. We always start with talk about coronavirus, how it affects sports, how it affects things locally. And two things today that I want to mention. One is, I think, extremely sad. The other is maybe hopeful. In New Albany, on the outskirts of New Albany, at Providence Retirement Home, the Floyd County Health Department announcing yesterday that there is a cluster of COVID cases that has formed there, that has happened there. At least 63 cases inside this Providence. It's a diverse care, transitional care community in New Albany, and 50, over 50 is how the release reads, of residents, 50 or more residents from this one facility are now positive for COVID-19. There are 13 staff members that have tested positive, but can you imagine what an absolute mess and what a sad situation to see older folks that need support and care, basically passing it to each other. And that has become, I think, from what I'm aware, at least in our two-county area here in Clark and Floyd counties, the biggest hotspot of viruses, the biggest cluster, I think, is what they call a breakout like that in the same facility or in the same area. That is obviously something that is really, really sad. One other thing with sports, I saw an ESPN article where an MIT professor went through some things he thinks can help make arenas, like sporting arenas, as safe as public parks, which is very interesting. He said that asking fans to wear face masks is something that likely needs to happen, which I think that's going to be a pretty common thing from what it sounds like with any activity that you do outside of the home. I think already or very soon. Also, half the seats would have to maintain some distance. Maybe families could sit together, but non-family members and things like that would have to be spaced out, which means you might get half capacity in arenas potentially when things start back up or early in the startup phase. And then one other thing, I know a lot of employers are doing this, testing temperatures. The MIT professor said checking temperatures detects infection surprisingly well. So you'd have to get your temperature taken before you go into an arena or a stadium for you to view a game. He also went on to say a little bit later in the story that obviously, you know, this is could be sometime down the road, but the flow of traffic, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of pedestrian traffic, you know, when you go in an arena and you've got to go through the security gates and you got to go through the ticket counter or the admission lady, now they scan your ticket. There's always a log jam. It doesn't matter if it's a sold out event or just a well maintained or a well attended event, you're going to have some sort of log jam. So a way to figure that process out. And then also once you get into the arena, he said, almost making certain aisles one way where you got to go down this aisle, you got to go up this aisle, you got to go over on this aisle, which makes sense. It keeps the flow of traffic where everyone is moving in unison. And of course, hopefully people would keep some space, but interesting things you hear about, you read about when it comes to the return of sports that we never, ever thought we'd have to pay any attention to some of this stuff, especially at a sporting event. Excuse me. But obviously now in the world that we live, or the new world, the new normal that we're trying to get to, some of these things obviously going to be completely different. So also one other coronavirus related note, Tom Allen had a Zoom press conference, a virtual press conference yesterday, and he's still very helpful. And I know that that dude is a positive guy. There's no question about it. In wins, in losses, in good moments for the program, in tough moments for the program, that guy has been a really positive person in leading his team. And he remains positive that something's going to work out. He, you know, even if it's not a season that starts on time, Indiana set to open, I believe, September 4 against Wisconsin. He believes that in some form or fashion, there will be college football this season. And I think, Coach Allen, we all speak or we all are in agreement with you, everyone hoping that there is some college football this year. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines. A couple things we're going to cover include Jeff Goodman of Stadium. He's got a top 50 out in college basketball. He's got Indiana ranked. He's high on the Big Ten Conference, and there's a couple schools in the Big Ten he's got in his top 10, so we'll run through that with you. Also, later, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins. We always talk IU basketball with Alex, and we're going to talk about that preseason way too early poll from Jeff Goodman. We're going to talk about what Alex has been up to. He's got a number of recruiting stories on the site, also lots of Q&As, and I know he's working on more with former IU players. He's even got Cody Zeller on a Q&A, which is really good. It's a long read. We'll talk about that and what some of those guys have been up to as well. And then later, we're going to spend the final few moments of the show with Lee Kelly. As you know, Lee is a former teacher, my radio television instructor at New Albany High School. He helps with a lot of our things at the Big X, a lot of play-by-play. We do baseball together and are great friends. And so normally on Thursdays, he for years now has been with me in studios, but because we're social distancing now, Lee is not with me. So we're going to have him on in the final segment of the program today and catch up with Lee Kelly. So we look forward to that and seeing what he's been up to and talking a little local sports with Lee later in the program. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store. Listen to this. They've updated the deal. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany, and with a $15 purchase, which you can go in there and get lunch, you can get something for tonight, you can get ham or turkey, with a $15 purchase, you then get 50% off a large bone-in ham at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. That is a fantastic deal that you can take advantage of, especially in this time where we can't go out to eat in restaurants and grocery stores are crazy and often take home and things like that you're unsure about. This is a good deal at Honey Baked Ham you can take advantage of today at the New Albany store. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, and let me also remind you that we'd love to hear from you. If you got a question for Alex, a comment for the show, send me a tweet at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word on Twitter, Hoosier Hills. Send me a tweet, send me a direct message. You can find us on Facebook, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison as well. Love getting feedback from you guys, and most importantly, love getting questions and comments from you. We'll work them into the program as we get them each day. All right, Zaxby's headlines today. A few things to get to. Jeff Goodman, now at Stadium, used to be with ESPN. He has a top 50 for the season. He really likes the Big Ten Conference. He's got Baylor at number one, Villanova 2, Gonzaga 3. Iowa is the highest Big Ten team at 4. And the top 5 rounds out with another Big Ten team, Wisconsin. Third Big Ten team in the top 10 is Michigan State. So Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State are 4, 5, and 6 in this poll by Jeff Goodman. And again, he's really, really high on the Big Ten. He's got Rutgers at 15th in his way too early preseason polls. Of interest, he's got Louisville at 22, Kentucky at number 23 in his preseason poll. And we're going to see these things update a lot. Indiana is at number 30. He's got the Hoosiers at 30, and I'm going to read the profile to you that he's got for Indiana. They were 20-12 last season, 9-11 in the Big Ten Conference. He breaks this down for every team, which this makes this, you know, not that any of these polls are legit at this point, But this makes it probably the most interesting because they give you a full, he gives you a full rundown on losses, starters back, returners back, new additions. So Indiana obviously loses Devontae Green, 10.8 points per game, and Deron Davis, 2.7 points per game. Starters back, Trace Jackson Davis, Justin Smith, Al Durham, Rob Phinisee, and Joey Brunk. He gives you all their averages as well. This is for every team, not just for Indiana. Other returners, Jerome Hunter, Race Thompson, Armon Franklin, Demise Anderson, and three additions for the Hoosiers, Anthony Leal, Jordan Geronimo, and Trey Galloway. Right behind Indiana at number 31 is Ohio State. That's what, three, four, six Big Ten teams so far. Purdue is number 32. That makes seven Big Ten teams in his top 50. Illinois is 37, so they are the eighth Big Ten team. Michigan is at number 42 in Jeff Goodman's poll. So you can see a number of Big Ten teams listed in the top 50. I think I counted eight or nine off the on a whim here. But obviously, and he even writes this, he put a tweet out with the poll. He really expects the Big Ten Conference to be strong once again this season. We continue to talk about college sports and college football and how the coronavirus is affecting things. Just across the river, I mentioned earlier in the week, Vince Tyra, the Louisville athletic director, has been providing a lot of updates to the media, and I think they had one of their U of L Athletic Association boards meetings that was streamed or was available on Zoom. But they announced yesterday in a teleconference with the media, Tyra said that he plans to furlough 45 or more athletic department employees for at least 60 days. Now, they have to be given a 30-day notice before the furlough can start. But after that period of 60 days, once it does start, then they can determine if they want to furlough again or if it's time to bring some people back to work. On top of that, U of L announces that 40 positions in athletics will be cut. Some of those positions were open positions. They will not be filled and will be eliminated. And around 30 people have been laid off in the U of L athletic department. They will have their contracts honored, however, through June 30th. So we talk about college sports. Obviously, Louisville has had its budget problems and issues over the years, but it's a strong athletic program, and they are having some real problems. He did say yesterday, their AD, that they do not plan to cut any varsity sports because of the pandemic and because of shortfalls in the budget and other things that they're going to have to make up. But this is just another example. I saw a Division II school, if they don't reach a certain enrollment percentage in the next month or so, they're going to close completely. The athletics, the whole school, the campus, and everything. So I think that we're just beginning to see Cincinnati eliminate soccer, Louisville furlough and lay off employees, Division II school closed. There's other examples of cutbacks and very, very difficult situations that schools are being forced into right now. I don't think there's any question about it. Those type of things are going to continue to come out publicly as schools realize we have a big windfall to make up. We've got some tough things, both on the academic side and specifically the athletic side at a lot of these schools. And so it's going to be interesting to see what gets cut, who gets cut, who gives up salaries, who takes a percentage cut of their salary. Does it happen at Indiana? Does Scott Dolson, is that one of the first press conferences or announcements that he has to have? Is that, look, because of the coronavirus, here's the IU athletics plan to try to keep things within range. But some very tough months ahead. And I can guarantee you, and again, the health of everyone is more important than any of this. I think we all understand that. But I can guarantee you some very tough moments for some of these school chancellors and presidents and athletic directors that are facing some not only big cuts and some shortfalls in revenue, but also the thought of what happens with football. I mean, Louisville, football is big. I mean, it's a big deal and big for every school. And you think of Indiana, well, the crowd's not always that good, but it's still a big income producing sport between TV and admission and sponsorships and other things that go along with it. So interesting times ahead. I feel like we say this every day, but interesting times ahead for athletic departments. I don't think there is any question about that. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. A couple other notes here in the first segment. We've got our senior spotlight coming up later in the program. We always do that at the very end. And today we will profile Drew Pfeiffer, a baseball senior at Charlestown. And Drew just recently made his college decision. So we'll tell you that. We'll give you all the information about Drew and his athletic career as we recognize senior athletes each day that basically have had their final year in many ways, athletically and beyond, stripped from them because of the pandemic that we are all currently going through. So Drew Pfeiffer profiled later in the program. And if you're a fan of high school basketball, Chris May, who's the executive director of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, he and I have been doing a podcast during this slower time here called Indiana High School Hoops with Dennison and May. We've had the opportunity so far to talk with J.R. Holmes at Bloomington South and also Anthony Leal, Mr. Basketball. That was a very well-listened-to podcast. I know a lot of you hopefully checked that out as well, especially if you're an IU fan. We also talked with Carmel's coach, Ryan Osborne. He's done a great job there as a young coach in our state, continuing the success that Carmel has had. And yesterday, Chris and I recorded a great interview with Jerry Hoover. And I don't know if you'll know the name of Jerry Hoover, but he's a longtime figure in our state when it comes to basketball. He's 85 years old, and he recently, a couple years ago, got back into coaching once again at Blackford High School in Hartford City. And why do I bring this up? Why would it be of interest to you here in Southern Indiana? Because Blackford is the home of shooting sensation Luke Brown. And so we had Jerry Hoover, Coach Hoover, followed by Luke Brown on this Indiana High School Hoops podcast yesterday. It's available now on SoundCloud. It's available now if you follow me on Twitter. It's really good. Luke's great to talk with. He's a sensation. He's a celebrity. He's got the gyms are packed. You can't get a ticket to see Blackford play. He had an injury his freshman year that sidelined him for a number of games, and then his team, after winning the sectional, did not get the chance to play in the regional or beyond this year because of the coronavirus, but had it not been for one or both of those things, he likely would be passing Damon Bailey at some point later in his senior year. Now Coach Hoover thinks maybe he can get close, maybe he can get around the Romeo Langford point total for a career, but he's not quite sure he's going to be able to take over Damon Bailey given the missing, I think, 12 or 13 games his freshman year, then at least a game with the regional, perhaps a couple games, had Blackford been able to continue to win. But he's been a sensation in our state. He's been written about everywhere. He's going to play Division I basketball. I think the level in the school, that all is still up in the air for him. But a great conversation, not only with Luke, but his coach as well. And don't forget that Blackford, who's been bringing in all these fans, it almost reminds you of trying to get a ticket at New Albany during the Romeo Langford years. But don't forget, Blackford is coming down to play at New Albany just before Christmas in the regular high school basketball season for 2020-2021 season. So if you want to check that out, I wanted to mention it to you today. It was a lot of fun talking with those guys yesterday. Chris and I have got a lot of great coaches lined up to talk with, a lot of great players in our state. And so if you're a fan of high school hoops, you might check out that podcast as well. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We're going to talk IU basketball, some college hoops as well, and who knows what else with Alex next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall always joins in this segment on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball and more. And I want to start, Alex, with Jeff Goodman. He had a top 50 poll. And, you know, a ranking of the team right now, it's really just for fun. I don't take any of them too serious. What I will say about this poll is two things. Number one, Jeff does a tremendous job giving you details why he is ranking and making the decisions that he's making, because you can see who the teams are losing, who's
supposed to be back, who's definitely back, starters and other returners, if the team had red shirts, transfers coming in, recruits, new additions, he's got it all broken down, which I really appreciate the work that went into that. And it's fun to look team by team at who's coming, who's going, who's back, what they averaged, and then piece it all together for your own projections. But the Big Ten is my second point. According to this top 50 here in late April, Jeff Goodman thinks the Big Ten Conference, Alex, is going to be really good again next season.
Yeah, he definitely seems to be high in the Big Ten. It was, as you said, a really good piece of content that he put together just because of just not – he didn't just do a ranking. He kind of listed what every team has coming in, who's transferring, who's coming back and all that. So it's definitely interesting. I mean, he's got two Big Ten teams – or actually three Big Ten teams in the top six with Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan State, 4, 5, and 6. And then you kind of start going down through the list. I mean, there's Rutgers in the top 20. You've obviously got Indiana at number 30. So he thinks pretty highly of the Hoosiers. I think he's got them right now as the sixth highest Big Ten team going into next season, which is, you know, obviously would be an improvement over how they finished up this year. But I mean, it's pretty impressive from top to bottom how strong he views the Big Ten. I mean, he's got Michigan and Illinois, I think, below Indiana and a couple other teams. I think Ohio State's one other one, Purdue. So I think, you know, there's 9 or 10 teams in his top 50, so he's looking at it being another really strong year in the Big Ten.
Alex Bozich inside the hall is my guest. Iowa is number 4, followed by Wisconsin at 5 and Michigan State at 6. I tell you, I love Luca Garza, and I think Iowa will be good this upcoming season, but I'm not sure that if I was a national college basketball writer, and Jeff is respected, he does a good job, I'm not sure that I'd put Iowa 4th in the country. Does that surprise you, the amount of early hype that this Iowa team has for next season?
I mean, not really, because they're going to be bringing back, assuming Garza does come back, which I think most people think he is. I mean, the guy that was the second choice pretty much for National Player of the Year, you don't usually see those guys return to college basketball. Iowa was a top 5 offensive team last season. We've talked a lot about their defense having issues. That's been the case ever since Fran McCaffrey got there. But they're also going to have Jordan Bohannon coming back, who Indiana fans are very familiar with based on some of the performances he's put against the Hoosiers over the years. So, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with having them that high, because I don't think you can be a top 5 team with a defense that's that poor, but I understand it from the standpoint of the bringing back Garza. Joe Wieskamp should also be back. Bohannon, C.J. Frederick, they have a lot of pieces to be really dynamic offensively. It's just going to be a matter of whether they can figure it out defensively. I mean, I would definitely feel comfortable calling them a top 15, top 20 team. I don't know that I'd go top 5, but there's a lot still to play out in terms of rosters and who's coming back and all that good stuff. So I'm not surprised that they're that high. I just wouldn't have them that high myself personally.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex, you've continued even in this non-live sports period, no recruiting, no AAU, nothing to follow of that nature. You've continued to put out some good stories. Yesterday I talked about your story on Jalen Washington out of Gary West and how he was a prospect that could have really gained, and still may if there is anything played this summer, some steam and picked up even more offers, but that Indiana had done a good job getting in on him early. You've got a nice recruiting profile of him, others as well. And then you've also spent some time catching up with former IU players, and I know you're working on more as well, just for some kind of long-form Q&As, what they've been up to. I think very interesting stuff for IU fans to read. And you've got Cody Zeller as one of the former IU players that you've had a Q&A with so far.
Yeah, that was a really good conversation. I talked to Cody on Sunday for about 30 minutes. I think it took me over 2 hours to transcribe it. That was how long the conversation was. And he just had, you know, a lot of times I go into these conversations maybe hoping to do a story, and then the guys just give such good quotes, it's hard to pick and choose. So I just choose to run it as a conversational Q&A type piece, and those have been really well received. But I thought Cody was interesting just because of the perspective that he has, an NBA player who was playing the night that everything shut down, and to hear him talk about what it was like to come off the court and be told by the equipment manager that the NBA season was shutting down, to hearing his thoughts now on what it's going to take to resume the season and what he thinks from a player's perspective is needed for them to safely resume the season. And then we also touched on a lot of things that are a little bit more lighthearted, like some of the social media stuff that he's doing right now to try to keep people entertained. He talked a lot about the free time that he's had now. He's not used to it, obviously. And then the other thing that really kind of was interesting to me, and I think this is, you know, I've had some people ask me, like, what the IU players and what the team's doing right now. But Cody explained to me that he doesn't really have access to a gym right now with any regularity. And when he was actually back in Washington, he went to a gym that was nearby in a church. It has, like, one of those old tile floors. As you know, you can't get any traction on those. So people have asked me what the IU players are doing. I would say trying to do similar things and find a spot to work out or go outside. But it's pretty striking to me that an NBA player who's making $15 million a year doesn't have a place where he can go work out regularly. So that kind of tells you how shut down things are. I mean, I've read different stories about NBA superstars not having anywhere to go right now in terms of working out. So it really is just a different time. And he talked a lot about he's basically running around the neighborhood and lifting dumbbells at home to try to stay in shape. So that was a fun conversation. The other two that I did, Rob Johnson and James Blackman Jr., a little bit different, but I wanted to get the perspective on those guys because they were both overseas at the time all this changed. James came back a little bit earlier than Rob. Rob was actually in Russia, and they were one of the last professional leagues. They may have been the last professional basketball league to shut down all the way on March 26th. So that was, what, 2 weeks after the Big Ten season shut down. So they played quite a bit longer. And James was in Italy, which is where kind of the after China, it was really the next place where it really spread the pandemic, and things were obviously not very good there for a while. And he talked about, you know, getting home and what that challenge was like. And the unique thing from him was, you know, he's got a gym in his house at home up in Fort Wayne, so they can he and his brothers can actually work out there. So that's a nice little thing that he has access to. And you know, the conversations are always fun. Those guys, you know, since I've been covering the team, all of them have been just kind of really good citizens, guys that are always fun to talk to and try to keep in touch with them, keep relationships with them. And fortunate that they were willing to take the time, because as you mentioned, it's not an easy time to come up with content and things to write about. And so we're trying to get creative, and I've continued to reach out to other former players. And actually, after I got off the phone with you, Matt, here in a little bit, I'm going to be talking to another one. So I try to keep that content going, and hopefully at some point we'll get back to having some basketball. But for the time being, we're going to have to keep getting creative, as I know you're doing every day with your radio show.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, my guest. All the content we just talked about, those Q&As and some recruiting profiles, InsideTheHall.com, and you can follow Alex at InsideTheHall on Twitter if you don't already. I want to turn to social media for a question. It says, Alex, of the incoming freshmen, who do you feel could have a more prominent role? Of course, that you're talking about Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway from our state here in Indiana, but also Jordan Geronimo. And I'll let you answer the question. Of course, when I think about it, we know a lot about Leal. We know a lot about Galloway. Very intrigued by Geronimo as well. Kind of hard, I think, probably to predict that right now, but some interesting angles you could take.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Galloway. I feel like he's the, you know, I haven't obviously seen Geronimo in person. I've watched video. I think, you know, long-term he might be the best prospect of the three, but in terms of being ready to come in right away and play, I think Galloway's probably at the top of the list right now. He's very aggressive on both ends of the court. Defensively, he can guard. He's a better athlete than I think people give him credit for. And he's, in terms of his offensive game, not the greatest shooter, but aggressive off the dribble and knows where to go on the floor, knows the spots he needs to be in to find success. So I would go with him. I think all three of them will have a chance to play different roles and to varying degrees. I don't necessarily think that any of them are going to have a season where they're on the bench completely. But if I had to pick one of the three, I would say Galloway at this point.
Alex Bozich inside the hall joining us. I want to talk to you about a couple other subjects before we end today. Matt Harms, former Purdue player, kind of surprisingly, I think, to some, announced his transfer from Purdue that he was going to enter the portal. He's down to a final three that includes Kentucky, BYU, and for some reason I can't think of the other school right now.
Texas Tech,
okay. And I think he's supposed to make his decision today. There has been a big to-do made about Matt Harms, and by no means do I understand it. He's 7'3" with an unbelievable wingspan to him, and you just don't see that length and that height around the game much. But there have been, in this offseason, I don't know if it's there's not a lot of news to talk about. I don't know if the transfer market's been picked through already so bad, but he really has been a primetime discussion of college basketball here in the last couple of weeks, and I don't think I would have ever seen that coming here if you would have told me that would be the case.
Yeah, I mean, this happens a lot of times when guys transfer. For whatever reason, their value gets a little bit overinflated. As you mentioned, I mean, it's nothing against Matt Harms, but he was mostly a backup for a Purdue team last year that wasn't very good. He's obviously a pretty good defensive player that can, block shots and kind of make things difficult on opposing teams in the paint. But, you know, offensively, he's very limited. Based on the three schools that he kind of put on his list to pick from, I think most suggestions are he's going to pick BYU. I guess of the three, that may mark the best opportunity for him to have a bigger role. I don't necessarily think that if he would have gone to Kentucky or Texas Tech, he would have had a more prominent role than he did at Purdue. I mean, Texas Tech and Kentucky are better teams right now than Purdue, so he would have been moving up there to go to a better school, better program at this point in time. I don't necessarily see how that would have given him a more featured role. I guess maybe he felt like he was going to be stuck a little bit behind Travion Williams, which I think from a Purdue perspective is probably justified. He's a better scorer in the paint. He's a really good rebounder, not the same shot blocker and defender that Harms is, but he's more of a guy that you can feature offensively. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be a good pickup for whoever gets him. I think he's a good role player, but I think it's important to remember that he's pretty limited offensively, and he's not necessarily, if Kentucky or Texas Tech misses out on him, I don't necessarily think it's a huge deal for either one of those programs.
Yeah, I saw Evan Daniels in the crystal ball select or put his pick as BYU for Matt Harms. So it sounds like Kentucky wants him bad. It'll be interesting to see what he announces later today. Also, I wanted to get your opinion. Obviously, Indiana has a new incoming AD and Scott Dolson that will take over a little bit later in the spring, but he's already well-versed with the athletic department, its operations and budget from his previous jobs that he's held at Indiana University in Scott Dolson. We just saw in Louisville at U of L yesterday they announced more details about their budget shortfall. They're going to furlough a number of employees for at least 60 days. They could renew that furlough as that 60-day period expires. They're also going to not fill some positions. Other people have been laid off. Very interesting times in college sports. And I use Louisville as an example. It's right in our backyard, and obviously they have a great fan base and a solid athletic program despite some of the off-the-court things that have happened in recent years. But you look at Cincinnati eliminating soccer. Louisville did say they're not going to eliminate varsity sports during this pandemic or because of this pandemic and the shortfall that it's caused. But it's just a matter of time, don't you think, until Indiana and Big Ten schools and basically everyone in the country announces or has to cut something, whether it's salaries, positions, sports. I even mentioned in the headline segment today at Division II University, it's not just canceling sports, they're closing the whole dang campus. I would say that's coming for everybody, especially when we know the fate of football.
Yeah, I mean, I think some schools are probably trying to wait as long as they can to see what's going to happen with football. But, I mean, not having the revenue from the NCAA tournament, and Louisville obviously is they're obviously a football program is successful and big, but they're a basketball school too. So, I mean, I think they're being a little bit proactive and getting out in front of this, which probably a pretty good idea to do so. You don't want to find yourself in a position 2 or 3 months where you've kind of waited and then all of a sudden you have to make even deeper cuts. So tough decisions being made. I think they're cutting like something like 25% of their athletic department staff, which is that's a lot of people. So it's unfortunate. I'm hopeful that, you know, eventually these jobs can come back to college sports once you get back to somewhat normal, whether it be next year or in the coming years. I think college sports is going to get back to being a big business and successful ultimately. But the reality is that this, you know, I was thinking about this, Matt. I don't know if there's any person in the world that this hasn't impacted in some way. I mean, there's every job is impacted in some way, some way worse than others. But it's a challenging time, and you know, it's tough for those people, obviously, that have lost jobs, and you hope that they can all land on their feet. But yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before we see these headlines popping up all across the country. Unfortunately, there's just so much money that's going to be lost, and these programs, a lot of cases, aren't sitting on a treasure trove of cash that they can just afford to keep paying people for a couple of years if their revenue comes down. And if football doesn't happen on time or at all, then I think you're going to see some really tough cuts having to be made.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's always with us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball and more. Alex, keep up the great work with the content in this odd time, and we'll have you back again next week to talk more.
All right, thank you.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, always with us as we talk IU hoops year-round here on the Hoosier Report. That is segment number two. We're going to head to a commercial break and come back. Lee Kelly will join me, my co-host on Thursdays, who has not been with me due to social distancing here the last month and a half or so. We're going to catch up with Lee, talk some local sports. And in the final segment, we have our senior spotlight, Drew Pfeiffer of Charlestown Baseball. We'll tell you all about Drew's career as a Pirate, and we'll tell you where he's headed next to play college baseball. Still ahead on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment. Going to chat with Lee Kelly here in just a moment. Also, to close the show later, we'll have our senior spotlight on Charlestown baseball standout Drew Pfeiffer. That's all still ahead as we wrap up this Thursday program. Lee, it's great to have you with us. I wish you were in the studio, but we are doing what's right, according to Governor Holcomb. We are practicing social distancing here at the Big X, but it's glad to have you on, even if it is by telephone today.
I understand. Glad to be able to talk to you even by telephone if I can't be in the studio. My daughter grounded me on March the 13th, and so it's been a little lonely, to say the least, but thanks for having me on.
You know, we've tried to mix in, and you've been of help when we were going through all this, tried to mix in some news topics locally, because when you turn on the TV, you know, we're in a Louisville television market, and obviously there's been some important national headlines and world headlines with this. You don't always get what's going on right here in Floyd County or Clark County, and so we've tried to mix in some guests and government officials and health department officials and school superintendents to talk about what's going on and how this is affecting not only sports but other things around sports in our communities. And I'll tell you, one of the saddest things that I've mentioned on this program, at least from a local perspective, is the Providence retirement home situation, where they've got at least 63 cases of COVID-19, at least 50 of the people that live there, and then at least 13 staff members. That's a real hot spot here locally when the numbers have been reasonably good, I think, as of late. But you feel terrible. It's just a horrible situation there.
Absolutely. And you know, Matt, when you read about it or hear about it on radio or TV, and it's in New Jersey or it's in Atlanta, you feel sorry for the people. But, man, when it hits this close, Providence Retirement Home, been around for years, well-known, well-respected, it just really throws you for a loop. You really have to sit back and read the article again or rewind the TV and listen. Is that really what I just heard? It really kind of wakes you up.
Yeah, no question. I was on Indiana Sports Talk last Saturday, I think, with Coach Bob Lovell, and we were talking. He was asking about the reaction from local players and coaches to the coronavirus shutdown, because he knew we had so many good basketball teams here that had won their respective sectionals and were hoping to win a regional and move on in the state tournament. And it doesn't seem like over a month, almost a month and a half from when those cancellations took place, and kind of rehashing all that, especially Silver Creek with just a loaded roster and a front runner in 3A, and then going through some of the exciting moments of Providence and Christian Academy and, of course, Floyd Central's first sectional in so many years. Just that conversation with him kind of brought back some of the emotions and some of the storylines from the high school basketball season for me. But still hard, even with everything that's been canceled, with the national health emergency, NBA, Major League Baseball, all professional sports leagues, NCAA tournament canceled, all of it. It's still hard for me to believe that the high school basketball state tournament was canceled in Indiana. I'm not saying that it shouldn't have been canceled. Obviously, it had to be, but it's still something that just in our state, with what that means to so many people, it's hard to believe that some of these local coaches and players did not get the opportunity to move on.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really hard to think about, talk about, because we've never had anything like this. I mean, it's just something that came out of the clear blue, really, and over a period of months, I understand, from the time the first death occurred until it reached that point. But still, it's very difficult to kind of sit here in April and think, well, you know, we would have been talking about the state champions, we would be talking about spring football, we would be talking about all of these things. And yet when you look at the recent news about Providence Retirement Home, you go, well, you know, that the sports is not near as important as those the things going on there. So it quickly comes back into perspective.
Lee Kelly joining me, and of course Lee normally with me on Thursdays. And Lee, this time of year, we would be pretty active during the week, at least a couple times, doing play-by-play of local high school baseball. You and P.K. Falkenstein and myself have a blast doing that every year. We follow some of the great teams, and we've had fun getting to follow some locals deep into the state tournament, including to Indianapolis a few times for state championship baseball games. And, of course, that's something that isn't going to happen. We're profiling a lot of senior spring athletes that have lost their final season of their spring sport, at least. But I tell you what, just driving around a little bit the other night, I took in New Albany's progress there on Mount Tabor Field, a softball and baseball with turf infields slowly coming together. It's still very early in the construction process. And then in Jeffersonville, that field is really coming together. Don Poole Field, that is, and Jeff. So normally we'd be out at some of those facilities, but since we can't play, since we can't broadcast, those staff's taking advantage of this downtime to get some big-time facility improvements. And whenever we do make our way back out to some of these local high schools for baseball games, there are going to be some absolute great facilities to see these kids play in and, of course, for us to broadcast from.
Yeah, they need to put a fence up for me, because I keep looking over trying to figure out which building is which and where they're pouring concrete. I have to remind myself I'm driving. So, but a lot of work going on, as you mentioned, and can't wait to see what the final product is.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee Kelly,
great to catch up. We'll do this from time to time on Thursday, and I hope that in a reasonable amount of time you can be back here in the studio and help me bring the Thursday program to listeners. But thanks for chatting. Glad that you guys are safe, and we'll talk very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
All right, Lee Kelly with me as we wrap up the show today. Final thing we want to accomplish in our Thursday program, our senior spotlight. We do this every day. We recognize a spring sport athlete that has had their season and a lot more taken away because of the pandemic that we currently find ourselves in. And today we profile Drew Pfeiffer of Charlestown High School. Drew is a baseball player for the Pirates. He's got all sorts of accomplishments on the field. His freshman year, he was the Charlestown Rookie of the Year. He was Mid-Southern Conference All-Conference Honorable Mention. Sophomore year, he was Mid-Southern Conference First Team, News and Tribune All-Area Second Team, 2019 Charlestown High School Cy Young Award winner, Mid-Southern Conference All-Conference First Team. And then this year, some off-season accomplishments, 2019 Pastime 17-and-under National Championship All-Tournament Team for position players, and he's 2019 News and Tribune All-Area Baseball Second Team as well. So all sorts of accomplishments, a long, long list, and that's just during his high school years. One of the things, and we've had some others, I didn't name this or mention this, but one of the things that I'll remember Drew for was he was a part of a great New Albany Little League team that really should have went to the World Series. They got beat in the championship game at the Great Lakes Regional by the Jackie Robinson West team, which ended up having some illegal players. And, of course, New Albany just narrowly got beat in that game, but would have had the opportunity very likely to move on to the World Series in Williamsport. But that was a fun team to cover and kind of let you know some of the next group of really good high school players that were coming through as youth in our area. He hobby-wise, enjoys weightlifting, fishing. He's got twin little brothers. He likes to play with them. He enjoys NBA 2K, and he also works on a golf course. And as far as shout-outs, I'm going to read to you what Drew wrote. He said, "I would love to give a shout-out to my coaches, Coach Ricky Romans, Coach Brian Smith, and Coach Nate Walls for their support and guidance throughout the years. A shout-out to Charlestown High School seniors Andrew Snyder, Hunter Jones, Blake Gibbs, Braden Murphy. I am heartbroken that we did not get to finish the job this year. And lastly, a shout-out to my Rawlings Tigers, Team Smash Baseball Guys for Life, Webster Walls and Dalton Roush. That was his travel team. He says, I will always cherish our year playing and competing against one another. Thank you for so many great memories." Drew Pfeiffer is the son of Jerry Pfeiffer and Sherry Rhodes. And after high school, he just made his decision. He's going to play baseball at Frontier Community College, which is located in Fairfield, Illinois, and from there likely get re-recruited and see what happens. But congratulations to Drew Pfeiffer, great baseball player for the Pirates. Lots of memory of Drew playing over the years. And Drew, we salute you for all the work that you've put in to become a great baseball player, and very thankful for you that you will get the opportunity to play at the college level and that this hasn't been your final game with this shutdown of high school sports. Drew Pfeiffer, our senior spotlight for this Thursday program. Drew, best of luck to you as you move on to play at Frontier College in Illinois. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Thank you so much for being with us. I'll return on Friday at 11 a.m. for our final show of the week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.